chose Cloud Song by the all-autumn poet Ophelia Zepeda. Ada closed the event with a reading of the poem.
Cloud Song. Greenly, they emerge. In colors of blue, they emerge. Whitely, they emerge. In colors of black, they are coming. Reddening, they are right here.
You can hear more poetry about nature, our feathered friends, and our public lands at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mark Bramhill. Happy National Poetry Month.
Diverse, independent, yours. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, BC.
Hello, Reverend Billy here for Earth Riot Radio. Welcome. We have a special moment I think we're sharing right now, and I'm glad you're with me. And the people that will be contributing, the singers and the wisdom speakers and the birds and animals and growling cats and a collection of people are waiting for you in the next half hour, and we're all moving towards a space that has opened up. Since last Saturday, April 5th, something happened. We marched together, we breathed together, sang together, shouted together. We didn't really have that airing out before. The fascism's been growing and growing, and we feel trapped, claustrophobic. But last Saturday, the air around us, reclaiming the commons, how would you put it? We planted seeds. We have a destination now. That feeling is in the air. There's an optimism. There's a place to go. There are things to create. Meaning to be reclaimed. But also, things will happen, we believe now, that we could not have anticipated. We're out in the fabulous unknown together. We have a strange fate, a future moving toward us. And it is the natural world. And we are invited to be a part of it. And I know now that we can make our move together. Earthaluya, Earthaluya, somebody give me an Earthaluya.
Oh, I feel, I've got to come up with a title for this radio show, but I feel so overwhelmed by the memory of the 5th, Saturday, hiking, dancing, shouting. I feel like we want to have an Earth Riot today in this show. The title has to be something like 10,000 Perfect Trump Clones Storm Mar-a-Lago. No, that's too long for the subject line. 10,000 de-extincted dire wolves storm Mar-a-Lago. 10,000 de-extincted dire wolves eat Trump. Earth's intelligence is insulted. Earth has had it. Planet Earth breaks relationships. The Earth storms out of the room. No, no, no. 10,000 common loons storm White House. 10,000 pygmy lemurs invade the Oval Office. 10,000 de-extincted woolly mammoths appear on the deck of the super aircraft carrier Gerald Ford. Endangered species by the thousands fall on the rooftops of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, flung from the wind of the superstorm Beelzebub. Well, that's too long for the subject line. Oh, the superstorm coming from the natural world, full of intelligent living things, including you and me. Earthaluya.
You get the blues. All that shopping gets me depressed. But what really gets me down is that damn convenience.
Consciousness can actually be furthered and become more real for us in the course of taking risks and stepping out and speaking out. And you know why? It's because at the root of this shift that we're required to make now for life to go on, at the root of it, I think, and it comes both from science and spirituality, two revolutions, we're seeing that the earth is alive. It's a living system. Our political economy is treating the earth as a supply house and a sewer. And this is wreaking havoc with our own self-understanding and with our own peace of mind. It breaks our heart in a way far greater than we imagine to see our earth treated this way. But now, just as you and I are alive in this moment, both from science, quantum theory, chaos theory, system theory, and from spiritual traditions, from the indigenous people to the currents in every religion there that are recognizing that our world is alive. The earth is alive. From it derives everything we know and have and are. And therefore, it is sacred to us. Oh my God, my world is alive. This planet is alive. That's what you were feeling today, Ayanna, when you were walking out in the turning leaves. This is a living world. I'll do everything for it, and nothing I can do, nothing will ever befall me that will separate me from this living world. It's my larger body. It can pour its intelligence and its bliss through me.
Beautiful.
take that journey, you and me. Take that time. Get the map. Got the map? Oh, it's inside us. We forgot that. Now we remember. The Earth gave us the map. Thank you, Earth. Yeah. We'll be singing beautiful Earth until you guided us, and now we promise you we'll shout.
Welcome to News from the Natural World. I'm Savitri D. Global temperatures hovered at historic highs in March, prolonging an unprecedented heat streak that has pushed the bounds of scientific explanation. In Europe, it was the hottest March ever recorded by a significant margin that drove rainfall extremes across a continent warming faster than any other as planet-heating fossil fuel emissions keep rising. The world sustained a near unbroken spell of record or near record-breaking temperatures that has persisted since July 2023. Since then, virtually every month has been at least 1.5 degrees Celsius hotter than it was before the Industrial Revolution. March was 1.6 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial times, extending an anomaly so unusual that scientists are still trying to fully explain it. Nearly 2 million hectares of Australian forests suitable for endangered koalas have been destroyed since the iconic species was declared a threatened species in 2011. The scale of habitat destruction in Queensland and New South Wales, states in which the koala is formally recognized as being at risk of extinction, has continued, despite political promises it would be protected. The National Weather Service paused automated translation of weather alerts after a contract with AI firm Lilt lapsed, affecting access for millions who speak languages other than English. The Trump administration's policies, including revoking a requirement for agencies to assist those with limited English, have affected translation services and broader federal communication strategies. Researchers say the halted translations could delay life-saving information for non-English speakers during severe weather, particularly as climate change increases the frequency and intensity of disasters. An analysis of archaeological sites around the Yellowstone supervolcano has demonstrated that ancient rhinos lived in superherds. 12 million years ago, over 100 prehistoric rhinos gathered at a single waterhole in what is now northeast Nebraska. These one-horned animals had a barrel-shaped body and stubby legs, much like a modern hippo. They fed on the grasses and may have spent long periods of time either in or around bodies of water. The animal, known as T. major, was a large and chunky beast with few natural predators, but their young were vulnerable, especially when faced with the bone-crushing dogs that roamed the area. The rhinos did not die quickly after the supervolcano erupted. Instead, they gradually succumbed to the flow of ash that traveled for hundreds of miles on the winds. That ash would have covered everything, the grass, leaves, and water. And unlike the people of Pompeii, the rhinos likely weren't killed immediately. It was much slower. They were breathing in the ash, and then they likely starved to death. A special type of chewing gum can trap and neutralize some influenza and herpes viruses, according to new experiments from scientists in the US and Finland. The herpes simplex viruses 1 and 2 can both cause oral herpes. And despite being one of the most common infections in the world, there are hardly any preventative measures available today to stop the spread. Some scientists are hopeful that this new antiviral gum could help fill that gap, especially as research on a herpes vaccine has stalled due to a lack of funding. Even if a vaccine is found, there are likely to be breakthrough infections, and chewing gum could help stop those from spreading further. The approach seems to be most suitable for reducing viral loads in saliva and the throat area, which are two main sites of oral viral transmission. The gum originated with promising studies to prevent oral transmission of the SARS-CoV-2 viruses that cause COVID-19. The clinical-grade chewy is made from lab-lab bean powder, ground from the seeds of the lab-lab purpurus species, which contain a natural viral trap protein called Fryl. The Trump administration has cut nearly $4 million in climate research funding to Princeton University, claiming the programs cause unnecessary alarm and contribute to youth anxiety. The Commerce Department announced it would stop funding a major climate modeling partnership between the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and Princeton, accusing it of promoting exaggerated climate threats. The now defunded program aimed to model ocean atmosphere changes and support educational initiatives for K through 12 students. A leak in the Keystone oil pipeline has spilled 3,500 barrels of crude in North Dakota, the 23rd spill in its 15-year history. Investigators blame many of the spills on flawed construction, poor welds, and original design issues identified in government and safety agency reports. The Line 5 pipeline has been a flashpoint in the battle over fossil fuel infrastructure, indigenous sovereignty, and environmental protection. The aging oil and gas pipeline, operated by Canadian energy giant Enbridge, moves millions of gallons of crude and natural gas liquids daily through a region that holds 20% of the planet's surface freshwater. A proposed tunnel to house a replacement segment beneath the lake bed has drawn fierce opposition from tribal nations, who warn it risks catastrophic spills and continued desecration of sacred territory. Now, 7 indigenous nations in Michigan have walked away from federal talks over the proposed oil pipeline tunnel, citing a lack of meaningful engagement and treaty violations. The tribes oppose Enbridge's Line 5 tunnel project, which would replace part of a 72-year-old pipeline under the Straits of Mackinac, a critical freshwater corridor between Lake Michigan and Lake Huron. Their withdrawal follows the Army Corps of Engineers' move to fast-track permitting under President Trump's Energy Emergency Order, which tribes say dismisses their environmental and legal concerns. Tribal leaders and legal advocates argue that the project threatens water resources and violates both U.S. treaty obligations and international law requiring indigenous consent. Indoor cannabis cultivation now accounts for about 1% of U.S. electricity use, emitting more greenhouse gases than Bitcoin mining and all other crops combined. Most U.S. cannabis is grown indoors under high-powered lights and climate control, creating emissions equivalent to 10 million cars annually. Experts say shifting production outdoors could cut emissions by 75%. In an unexpected discovery, scientists at Kyoto University have confirmed that chimpanzees experience contagious urination, similar to humans. The team spent over 600 hours observing chimpanzees at the Kumamoto Sanctuary in Japan, documenting 1,328 urination events. They found that chimpanzees were more likely to urinate within 60 seconds of each other, especially if they were physically close. The study also revealed that chimpanzees of lower social rank were more likely to follow others in urinating. Lower-ranking chimps appeared more sensitive to the behaviors of others, whereas higher-ranking individuals did not show the same pattern. This suggests that social rank may influence how behaviors spread within a group. Humans also experience this behavior, known in Italian as "chi non pisca in compagnia o è un ladro o è un spia," meaning whoever doesn't pee in company is either a thief or a spy. In Japan, it's called tsureshan. Researchers now think this behavior may have evolutionary roots shared by both humans and chimpanzees, suggesting that synchronized actions can help strengthen social bonds. Almost 200 pesticides have been found by a study examining dust in homes around Europe. As scientists say, regulators need to take toxic cocktails of chemicals into account when banning or restricting the use of pesticides. Scientists say their research supports the idea that regulators should assess the risks posed by pesticides when they react with other chemicals, as well as individually. They say this should apply to substances already in use, as well as those yet to be approved. In preliminary findings from the largest study of its kind, scientists examining household dust from homes in 10 European countries in 2021 detected 197 pesticides in total. More than 40% of the pesticides found in the dust have been linked to highly toxic effects, including cancer and disruption of the hormonal system in humans. Scientists have discovered a completely new phylum or primary category of microbes in Earth's critical zone, an area of deep soil that restores water quality. Groundwater, which becomes drinking water, passes through where these microbes live, and the microbes consume the remaining pollutants. The critical zone is part of the dynamic living skin of Earth, but is very hard to study. The critical zone extends from the tops of trees down through the soil to depths up to 700 feet. This zone supports most life on the planet as it regulates essential processes like soil formation, water cycling, and nutrient cycling, which are vital for food production, water quality, and ecosystem health. Despite its importance, the deep critical zone is a new frontier because it's a major part of Earth that is relatively unexplored. And now, the sounds of extinction, butterflies. Between 2000 and 2020, total butterfly abundance in the United States fell by 22% across the 554 species counted. That means for every 5 individual butterflies within the U.S. in the year 2000, there were only 4 in 2020. 13 times as many species declined as increased, with 107 species losing more than half their populations. Butterflies are important pollinators. They are greatly affected by temperature fluctuations, climate change, habitat loss, and especially the overuse of pesticides, herbicides, and insecticides. Much chemical use in farmland lacks strategy and results in overuse. Some 20% of cropland suffers from poor yields. Returning underproducing land to nature could help the butterflies flourish. And listen closely for the sound of the butterfly.
time to say thank you and goodbye. Well, we have to thank the life forms that were singing and grunting and grinding and soaring throughout the half hour, brought to us by Jason Candler, our editor, who opened the door and let in the monarch butterflies and the rhinoceroses and the wolves and the loons and the lemurs and just every possible hundreds of different kinds of voices. Thank you, Jason. We have to thank Rick Ulfick, who made our anthem, Shapocalypse, the Shapocalypse song 20 years ago. He wrote that. We've been singing it ever since. Joanna Macy, For the Wild, was the podcast in which she was interviewed by Ayana. And thank you so much for the wisdom. Our body is in a larger body, and that is the Earth, and the Earth is alive. That makes all of our activism possible and necessary. Beautiful Earth, that another anthem. Savitri D had a lot to do with composing that. Our reporter from the News from the Natural World, Sundar Ganglani, prominent soloing there. You know, we wouldn't be anywhere if we weren't broadcast. WFMP in Louisville, Kentucky is one of our broadcasters. 8 a.m. Saturdays, 106.5 FM. WFMP, Louisville. I want to thank you people for partnering with us. Extinction demands revolution. We've got a lot of work to do in this time of encroaching structures and monoculture and violence. Our resistance will flourish, will come to life like all these animals that have partnered with us in making this show possible. Somebody give me an earth alleluia.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.